it and go, right, this is amazing. This is going to be transformational. This is going to be something that's going to blow my mind and going to draw me closer to God that loves me. And so we're going to explore James 2 and all that it means for each and every one of us this morning. You know, in Philippians 2, it says this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. And so I want to focus that we're going to be these stars shining in the sky. We're going to be people that are on fire for Jesus, and people cannot help but be drawn into it. You know, when we walk down the street, I want people to go, oh, Dave, you look different. And spot that it's because God is at work in his life. And James is going to help us to figure out how we do that. So James 2 starts by saying this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? You know, suppose a brother, sister, without clothes and daily food. Imagine if one of them says to you, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Has anyone ever been through difficulties? Anyone been through really tough times and thought, what on earth am I going to do in this moment? Have any of you ever felt that you're on your own in that situation? And have any of you ever shared this with someone for them to simply share a verse from Romans 8, verse 28? Does anyone know Romans 8, 28? Yeah, the Lord works the good for those that love and care for him. I think amazing verse, real power in that verse. But so many times have I been in difficult times and someone's gone, don't worry, brother, Romans 8, 28. It's like, great, thanks very much. Not, do you want a coffee? Do you want to sit down and have a chat? Can I pray for you? Can I help meet this need that you've got in your life? It's just, oh, here's a verse, a little bit out of context, but it's a blessing upon you. James is quite clear that just sharing a verse is not going to be enough. Saying to someone in the street, Jesus loves you, is not going to be enough to convert people. Not that our aim is to convert, our aim is to share love with people. James is very clear that you need to go love people. And you know, love means actually doing something to help. The Message puts it quite well for me. It doesn't always, but it does this week. It says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but you never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Does talking about something make it true? Like, I love talking about food. I'm a big foodie. Does that make me a burger of some kind? No. Some of you might be in positions, and I'm not going to pick on Beck, but somebody that maybe... I'm not picking on you, darling, it's fine. But somebody that may work for the body shop in the room could tell me everything about those products, could tell me where they're from and the community trade that's behind them. Does that mean that that person is Body Shop? No. It just means they've found something that is worthwhile, something they're passionate about, and something they can share on with anyone that is willing to listen. I listen a lot, it's all right. But we need to stop thinking we can just talk about this and people are going to come to faith. We can't just say, oh, have a lovely time, God loves you, God bless you, and expect that things are going to be different for that person. The reason I came to faith in the very first instance is because I met people that lived out their faith. that took the time to be interested in who I was, that took time to be caring, considerate, and loving to help meet some of my needs that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And in the midst of that, going, you know what? I know God, and I know that God loves you and that he wants to speak into this situation and walk with you through every moment in life. And those words had more power because they backed it up by what they did. Words alone are nothing, but faith alone is nothing. Words on their own, acts on their own, anything on their own is just a bit pointless. If we're passionate about something, we want to share it. I went to share with some of the young people a few weeks ago, and I shared about vegans. Anyone a vegan in the room? We'd know about it. Does anyone know vegans? There's a word that's about to become word of the year according to Oxford Dictionary. That it's likely to be a vegangelist. Because they're so passionate about being a vegan, their way of life, everything they do is focused around their belief in veganism. And that affects all that they do, all that they share, all that they do with people. And so there's a few things that are coming up out of the sort of vegan world. There is now a church of veganism. Vegan is now classed as a religion. It's crazy, isn't it? A religion out of vegan. I don't know how it quite works. It's not a right one, I'll be honest. This one is. But they're trying to get people to convert to this way of life. And you know what? They're actually doing it by the way they practice. They're being vegans by the way they do life. And that impacts people. Veganism won't meet their needs. Veganism won't be with them when they're alone and hurting. Veganism won't answer prayer. But people are so passionate about it that they just can't help but share. And people are drawn to that. Because passionate people draw people in. When I was a child, I remember if I was passionate about something in primary school, everyone would find out. You know those children, when they find something they're passionate, like, oh, I've learned magic. And I'll show you this magic trick. And then 2 minutes later, let me show you this. And it's like, you've shown me that. Oh, it's amazing, though. Because they just can't help but overflow out of who they are, that they want to share it. Their words are backed up by all that they are doing. James continues to say this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good, because even the demons believe that, and they shudder. In this passage, James refers to one of the oldest traditions known. It's one of the oldest Jewish traditions, the basis for our faith, and it's that word, one God. Because he's referring specifically to them, going, you know what, you say something each and every day that helps to impact your life. It gives you memory, it gives you knowledge and insight, and you live your life by knowing that there is one God. Everything else stems out of that. If we recognize that there's one God, you can't help but act. Because demons believe there's a God. Great. Do their actions back it up? Well, they're pretty petrified, so I would say they do in part. But it's that love in action that really sets this all together. Because in the Jewish tradition, they have a thing called the Shema. And it's a prayer they pray twice a day. And they'll often cover their eyes as they say this prayer. Because they believe that God, being God, is incredible. That he is so holy and reverent that they need to shield and be respectful of that motion. But it says, Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. I've been learning my ach to be able to do it. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's taken back from Deuteronomy, where God was reminding them who he is. Deuteronomy 11, it talks about that God is one, and you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And out of that love, everything else will stem. It's so ingrained, it's the most important part for the Jewish people to say this Shema. But do any of us just repeat things out of tradition? I wonder how often this is something that they suddenly go, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And it's suddenly, oh, that means I need to go and love my neighbor as myself. I need to go put my faith into action. To love is more than just words. If all I ever said to Beck was, I love you, and didn't back it up, we would not be married. We would not be together, because love you is a great phrase, but without me going and showing affection and care and understanding, support and encouragement, it's worth nothing. And so this morning, I've got a phrase for us in the room. It says exactly the same. Shema Ashwood, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Ashwood, this morning. The Lord is God. The Lord is one. But what are we going to do about it? What difference is God being one going to do for us? This morning he wants to remind us that he's one. He wants us to put love into action. Because, you know, the one will heal, restore, forgive. The one will protect and strengthen and guide. The one will be there throughout storm and trial and tribulation. The Lord our God, the one who is one, is the one for us and for every person that we come into contact with. But what difference is it going to make? James says further on, you foolish person. I love it when you jump into a verse and it says that. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith, his actions working together. His faith was made complete by what he did. The scripture fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone, because faith is dead. And then it finishes with this. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I sometimes think, what do people think of me? We all have that moment. What do people think of me? Do they think that I'm funny? Do they think I'm nice? Always quite considerate sometimes. What do people think about others? We get this mentality in our mind, oh yeah, I'll go to them because they're quite servant and I know they'll come and serve and do everything for me. But you know what? I don't want to be considered as funny or nice or considerate. They're nice things to have against my name. But can you imagine being credited as righteous? As God's friend? I would love people to walk down the street and say, that's God's friend. How on earth do I get to be God's friend too? That person is righteous because you know what? I've seen what they do. I've seen what they do in public, but I've also seen what they do when it's just me and them. They're the same person because they're trying to live a holy life, a transformed life by God being one. God is sharing about this life well spent. And Abraham was someone that lived a life well spent. He had issues, but don't we all? I want to look at one final person, and he's not mentioned so far, but I love Moses. Moses was a great man, a real problem at times for God and for people. But one of the moments I love the most is when Moses received the tablets and he spent that much time with God that his face shone. That people couldn't bear to look at Moses' face because he'd met with God and it had transformed his life completely. And that's what James is encouraging us today. That's what that Philippians about shining like stars in the night sky, shining like beacons of light in our family, in our friendships, in our communities, in our workplace. We need to shine our faces and reflect our lives. Because when I worked at the council a few years ago, you weren't allowed to share faith or pray for people. Obviously, it's a secular environment. But every day I was purposeful and said, God, would you give me a chance to share something of you? And sometimes that would be through actions. But you know what? I got to pray with quite a few people around that office. We set a prayer meeting up in a council building that still meets to this very day. Because I wanted to be someone that reflected Jesus through how I live life, not just by being a preacher and a proclaimer and an evangelist. I want people to go, he backs up all that he says by the way that he lives life. Moses spent time with God, and it showed. His love, his service, his sacrifice showed a heart for God that echoed across the globe and still echoes in this room today. He led a life pleasing to God, shining God's glory, because he took earnestly and honestly that God is one. And that if God is one, I need to share that love with other people. Not just by fancy words. I've never used fancy words in my life. Like, it's one of the few times I've ever used Hebrew in a talk before. But it made sense for me. Because it's a basis of our faith from the Hebrew roots and the Jewish roots. So how much more now as we remember that God is one, that we should strive to share him in season and out of season. You know, the times when people want to know about Jesus are the times when I feel worst. When people need help and you're at the end of a long day and you get a message saying, I'm really struggling. In those moments, what are we going to do? Are we going to be people that actually reflect God in that moment? We need to be living spirit-filled lives. Moses was someone that lived according to the law, that saw God face to face. But was he filled with the Holy Spirit? I would say he was at times. But you know what? We've got access to the Holy Spirit 24/7, every moment of every day. So as we live that life, as we strive to be someone that lives out our faith by our actions, going, Holy Spirit, will you help me? He will. Every single time, God will help. We've got this helper in it, and all we need to do is pray, listen, and act. In Ephesians, it also says this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We're not in this on our own. God's not telling us to go out and act all the time with our families and to do and do and do. He's saying, listen to me, hear my voice, ask me to help you within it. And you know what? Your faith will no longer be without deeds. Your life will shine the love of Jesus. And for me, I want to reflect God. And I want to put into action all that he asks of us. And so my question is this morning, what are we going to do? Are we going to crack on? For me, I want to be someone that's known for being righteous, that loves Jesus and loves people. Because God is one. God is the one that is in control. And so I just want to take a few moments together just to respond. Not to what I've necessarily shared, but to what God is saying into you. What the Holy Spirit is prompting in each of us. So maybe start to draw to mind moments where we may need to ask for forgiveness. Because God's called us to put into action our faith and we've not answered that call. But God is quick to forgive. God is waiting with those arms stretched wide open, running towards us to forgive and to heal. So, Father, we're sorry for those moments where we may have not acted as we should, where we may have thought or said or done things that aren't pleasing to you, that haven't reflected your goodness and your love. Would you forgive us and restore us? Would we be transformed? And Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us. Would we be open to hear what you would have us do? How can we better love our family, our friends, our neighbours? For some of us in the room, it may be that our friends don't even know we're Christians. They may not even know we're in church this morning. Maybe that's the challenge for some of us, that we need to tell them and not shy away of our love for God. So Holy Spirit, would you bring to mind things that we can do, things that we can say, or maybe just things that we can pray? Because prayer is the most powerful thing, backed up by our lives and our actions. So Father, we thank you that we can be known as righteous in your eyes, that we can be known as God's friend. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God, we thank you that you love us and that you care for us. Help us just to show that and share that through our lives. Thank you.